CRP is something that rheumatologists frequently use, whether we're talking about rheumatoid arthritis or lupus or systemic sclerosis, in order to determine the disease severity. In the census trial, the patients with systemic sclerosis, interstitial lung disease, nintedanib reduced the rate of decline in forced vital capacity over 52 weeks. Typically, an elevated CRP has been associated with a greater rate of decline in forced vital capacity and higher mortality. So the purpose of this study was to assess the effects of nintedanib in subgroups of patients based on their baseline CRP. So these patients had to have early systemic sclerosis. So they needed to have non-Raynaud's symptoms for less than 7 years. Typically, Raynaud's occurs for a much longer period of time and is not associated by itself with severe disease. And these patients had to have 10% or more fibrosis of the lungs on a high resolution CT scan. And these patients were assigned to either placebo or nintedanib. The rate of decline in the forced vital capacity per year was assessed, and the proportion of patients with an absolute increase in forced vital capacity of greater than or equal to 3%, which is a minimally clinical difference, and absolute changes in the baseline modified Rodnan skin score. So that's looking at how thick the skin was at week 52, was looked at in those patients who had a normal CRP at baseline and those patients who had an elevated CRP at baseline. It turned out that when we look at the good randomization, that those patients who were in the nintedanib group and the placebo group had equal numbers who had an elevated CRP. And if we look at the difference in the normal CRP and the elevated CRP group, what we see is that a greater percentage of patients had diffuse cutaneous systemic sclerosis who had that elevated CRP at baseline, and they also had a higher mean modified Rodnan skin score, so meaning the patients with the CRP, again, had worse lung disease and also worse skin disease. Not surprising, the adjusted annual rate of decline in the forced vital capacity in the placebo group was numerically greater in patients with an elevated CRP. So those patients who continued on their background therapy and had an elevated CRP, they tended to do worse. The effect of the nintedanib versus the placebo on reducing the rate of decline in forced vital capacity was numerically more pronounced in those patients who had an elevated CRP. So what we saw was that whether they had a normal CRP at baseline or an elevated CRP, nintedanib worked to slow the rate of decline in forced vital capacity. But those patients who had the elevated CRP tended to respond better. So if we're looking at our patients when they're in the clinic and we're trying to figure out who we should use nintedanib, it certainly, based on my interpretation of this data, should be those patients who had an elevated CRP. I think that most rheumatologists right now are using mycophenolate mofetil to treat patients with systemic sclerosis and interstitial lung disease. And then if that doesn't work, we will go to rituximab. So this abstract looked at patients with systemic sclerosis and interstitial lung disease, but it wasn't randomized. And so that these patients were start on one or the other, and there doesn't seem to be a rhyme or reason as to how they were randomized. But there were two groups. There was group A that was on rituximab, and then group B was on mycophenolate mofetil. And this was for a period of about 12 months. And the patients on rituximab received a total dose of 1.35 grams. These were primarily female in their mid-40s, had systemic sclerosis for an average of 6.3 years, and the ratio of diffuse to localized scleroderma was 1.3 to 1. In group B that received the mycophenolate mofetil, they received this for 12 months at a total dose of 10.6 grams, again, mostly in their 40s, female 91%, duration of scleroderma 7.1 years, and diffuse to localized 1 to 1.3. So what was looked at was the time course of decline in the forced vital capacity, change in the DLCO, change in the modified Rodnan skin score, changes in the activity index, and cardiac rhythm and conductivity disorders were assessed. If we look at both groups A and B, the therapies, both therapies, the rituximab and the mycophenolate, were associated with a significant decrease in the modified Rodnan SID score. So that both therapies worked when we look at changes in the skin. And in the mycophenolate group, there was a reduction in the number of patients who had cardiac abnormalities and conduction disturbances. Changes, however, in the forced vital capacity were only seen in the rituximab group. And certainly, in my opinion, they were significant in that rituximab, it was associated with a 10% improvement in forced vital capacity in a third of the patients. So if we're looking at these patients with systemic sclerosis and interstitial lung disease, if they're the primary driver of their disease is their interstitial lung disease based on this data, I would use rituximab. But if their primary driver of the severity of the disease was cardiac conductivity disorder, then I would tend to use mycophenolate. However, in taking care of patients like I do every day, what was seen in the study was that mycophenolate was not very well tolerated, and rituximab was much better tolerated, so that I think if I'm looking at these patients, really I'm going to be determining what is their primary driver of disease, and then based on that, choose either mycophenolate or rituximab.